I believe in the fact that telling you that you just have to believe in Jesus is it's almost laughable, right? I'm asking you to say, just believe. Just believe in what? Well, just believe in Jesus. Believe in what? The Bible gives us evidence with which to base our faith. And until you start understanding the intervention and the things that God has done throughout history, there's nothing to believe on. But people ask questions. Why doesn't God prove Himself today? Why can't somebody say, I'll show you God's real? There was a time when Elijah prayed and the heavens shut up for 3.5 years. Held back the rain. And then Elijah went out there and prayed and the rain came. Why didn't he do that today? Why can't you go out there today when you see your crops struggling and wildfires and stuff and say, you know, I have the great power of God. I can ask a God that loves us, a God that will do anything for us, a God that cares for us. And we go out, Lord, it's a good thing that we stop these wildfires. Let it rain. Nothing happens. Why has He gone so quiet now? Why has He gone so quiet? Show me a miracle like the old days and I will believe in Him. Where's your God? All day long, the Bible even says, where's your God? All day long you proclaim that He's coming back and that He loves you and He cares for you, and yet every day goes on as like any other. Just keeps going, right? So you say, where is your God? This is a legitimate question from people that say, look, if I'm testing the waters, right? I come in and come into a restaurant and I say, you know, I've heard pretty good. I heard that y'all have this tray where you have just little bits and pieces of a lot of things on your menu, where I can try a little bit of your fish, I can try a little bit of your hamburger, your steak, your chicken, whatever, and they bring this out, and so that you can sample this. Because this is a restaurant that you're going to start going to. But before you commit that you're going to go here, you want to find out a little bit about it. People ask these questions because some people are looking for the answers. Some people just want to make God look foolish. Well, if you want to see God look foolish, just look at me, right? Look at me. I'll make God look like a fool. Get me fired up. Get me on the wrong end. Get me mad, and I'll make God look like a fool every time. You think that I learned. Sometimes I have. Done a little better. But man. Yesterday we were taking my daughter back, and we're all waiting in line up there at the college for a spot to open so we can pull down to go, right? Go and unload. This guy starts to come around me. There's three cars in front of me. He starts to pull around me. So I pull up and he stops, honks the horn, shoots me the finger, and still goes on. What I was waiting on is because there's cars parked on this side and then there was a car coming up. That's the only place for a car to go. So I was waiting for this car to come up. As soon as that car left, he had gone down. He drove on the sidewalk. I was right down there, right? Looking at him, wondering what his problem is. I'm an idiot. Not that I shouldn't have got mad, but it's just how I acted, right? You would think that I would learn. But God, people ask, where is God? If I'm going to believe in your God, if I'm going to take the time to know, then how come He doesn't show Himself to me? We were leaving the house this morning, and my wife had made me coffee, right? And she said she found the lid to the coffee. We use instant coffee, right? She's like, where's the coffee? It was there. She just didn't know where to look, right? You wonder where God is. He's here. We just don't know where to look. You ever look for something and not been able to find it, and then somebody comes in and says, right? That's what they do, right? It's right here. It's obvious. But you couldn't see it. Right in front of your face. You couldn't see it. And they pick it up and they're like, We were looking at our first house, right? The first house that we got together. And we were looking down in the basement. There was one side that was finished, one side was not. We was over on the other side that wasn't finished. And we were like, how come the lights won't work? Of course, like this 16-year-old girl, she comes in and she goes, flips the light and walks back out, right? Like we should know. If you're interested in finding out where God is, let's look at some of the things and some of the places that He can be found, right? If you really want to know, where is your God? Why doesn't He show Himself? I like that question. I like that question. If you're looking to find God, He'll show Himself to you. He told you, seek and you will find. Problem is, most people don't want to seek. You know why? You ever look for something? Lost something and look back in the woods to try to find something? Pretty tough, right? It's hard. Seeking is not something we do on our couch by doing like this. This is what we're thinking seeking is. We're looking on the internet to try to find the answer, right? That's not seeking, right? It takes work. And if you want to make God to look like a fool, go right ahead. But in the end, you're going to look like a fool. God's not going to be the fool. We will, right? And I've already told you, I'm not looking at you thinking that you're foolish. I'm telling you that the first fool you'll see will be me. Let's look at Exodus 12, 29 through 30. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in the city of Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Pharaoh didn't believe in God. Does anybody know how many plagues actually came upon Egypt? What number this one was? Do you know? Well, see, you thought more than me. I thought like 6 or 7. When it's just saying 7, 8, 9, I was like, oh my gosh. 10 times. This was the 10th plague that came upon Pharaoh. 10 plagues. Dude did not learn, right? 10 times God revealed Himself. You see, Pharaoh said it was just a coincidence till his firstborn was died. The first plague was the river turning to blood, right? And Moses touched it with his staff. And it turned to blood, and everybody was like, oh. But then the magician says, oh, I can do that, right? Now, I think it was the casting down of the staff, and the magicians changed that, right? They mimicked it, the same kind of thing. He said that was just an illusion. 9 times God came to Pharaoh to show him. And he convinced himself in his mind that this was all a coincidence until his son died. Because God told Moses, he said, because Moses had gone to Pharaoh 9 times, right? And God said, look, you go to him this time. And after this plague, he will let you go. Right? Prior to that, he told him, you go to him, he will not let you go. He told him, he said, this isn't going to break him. See, Pharaoh considered all of this a coincidence until his firstborn died. And then that convinced him. If you read on, he says, he tells the Egyptians to go, and he even says, pray for me. Right? Well, his heart gets hardened later, and he chases after them because he sits there and he gets mad. You see, that miracle that happened, all those plagues that came upon Pharaoh, the pushing down, the bearing down, why doesn't God punish the bad, right? Why doesn't He punish the bad? Did it work on Pharaoh? There's one little answer, right? Pharaoh let them go. And if you read the account of it, he not only let them go, but he let them plunder. He let the slaves come into the Egyptian households, take the gold, take the stuff, and plunder the nation. But then his heart got hardened again, and he went after them. And all of Pharaoh's armies was lost when the Red Sea come back together. You understand? See, why doesn't God punish the wicked? Well, here's one reason. Doesn't work. I'll prove it to you, right? Anybody ever got a speeding ticket? You know what happens after you get the speeding ticket? You do the speed limit. You know what happens 6 months after you got the speeding ticket? You go back to the way you were. See, you have no real intention of obeying the law. You only want to do what you want to do. If you're a fast driver, you want to drive fast. And you're going to forget about that ticket, right? Yeah, that's always a stinger. First Kings 18:27, and so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he's meditating, or maybe he's busy, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping and he must be awakened." See, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, Elijah said, "If God is the God of Israel, then let us serve God. If Baal is the God of Israel, then let us serve Baal." And so he said, "Let's prove it." So they come up and they had a sacrifice. And they danced around and sung and prayed and cried for, I don't know, through the night or all day. Nothing happened. And so Elijah mocked them. He said, "Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's busy doing something else. Maybe he's forgotten about you," right? Because remember, I mean, if God is real, why doesn't he show himself? So, and God told Elijah to do this because Elijah said, "How come Israel is trying to serve other gods? Show me how to reach them." And so he showed them. He said, "You do this, and this will happen." So Elijah puts an offering, builds an altar, puts the offering on there, and he tells him, he says, "Now pour water on it." He said, "Okay." And so he said, "Pour water on it again." And he said, "Now drench it." And they poured so much water on the offering that it puddled up in the ground in the little trench and made a little trench in front of it, and it was just soaking wet. Then he prayed. He said, "God, show them." And fire came down from heaven. And not only did it consume the offering, but it consumed the altar. And then he said, and those people, those ones of Baal, they took off running. And he said, "Kill them. Kill them." And they caught those 300 prophets of Baal and they killed them. God is real. Why doesn't he show himself? You see, the 300 prophets of Baal thought this was all a trick, right? Their God didn't do anything. And so when Elijah was going to show that God could do something, and so fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and then the people who thought that maybe Baal was God, they watched those 300 prophets be killed in the name of God. God did something that day. See, the prophets of Baal thought it was a trick until they saw the fire, and then they felt the sword. So why doesn't God rain fire down from heaven today? After Elijah died, the Israelites went back and started reconstructing the altars of Baal. They went back to that false worship. Did it work? When God rained fire down from heaven, right? You're like, why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't he rain fire down from heaven? And then I'll believe in him. He did that. Did it make a difference? Those people in Elijah's time, they had books of the Bible that were already written. They had things that they could look back on where they could read the flood of Noah, where they could read about the parting of the Red Sea and the birth of the nation of Israel. They had evidence to believe that when God was involved, he wasn't playing games. But they chose to not believe in him. Irregardless of the evidence, they chose not to believe in him. So here was a time when they said, when people ask you, why doesn't God rain down fire from heaven? He did. Did that change their hearts? It might have changed those people who saw it that day. But the children that come, what are they? Do y'all listen to your parents? Do you think they know everything? Do you think that because they say it, you're like, wow, man, they're so smart? Yeah, that's not what we think, is it? But they are. You know why? Because they failed and they made a change. You see, God, if he rained down fire from heaven, it worked on those people, but the people that came before it, there's always going to be people that said, yeah, I really believe that. That's a good one right there. That's not what changes hearts. Luke 17, 15 through 16. I only have two slides. So Luke 17 through, chapter 17, verse 15 through 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Lord, my daughter is dying. Why can't you heal her? Why won't you heal her? Here was an instance where 10 people who had leprosy. It's like flesh-eating disease. It was highly contagious, and they had leprous colonies and stuff, and leprosy came where their flesh was just falling off, and they were bandaged up, and they stunk, and people stayed away from them, and it was a hell on earth, right? And Jesus healed 10 of them. 10 of them. If you were dying, and someone come to you and put their hands on you and said, Lord, in the name of Almighty God Jesus, arise, take your bed and walk. And they arose, and everything was fine, and they walked. What an amazing thing. And you would think that that would cause people to believe in Jesus. 10 people were healed. One came back. One. People who like science and statistics, do you know what that statistic is? 1 out of 10? That means that if a miracle was done in the presence of 100 people, 90% would walk away and not say anything or change anything about their life. Only 10% would take notice and seek to find and the redemption, the miracle, the mercy of that God that forgave them. 10%. 10%. People that like science and statistics. So that's not a really great way to prove God, is it? God, if you were real, if you would just heal, if you would just heal, then I would believe in you. It happened. And did they? No. Why? Why didn't they believe in Him? Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one came back. You see, miracles don't change hearts. We have a motivation and we have a limit where we're willing to make a change or we're not willing to make a change. Do you know that this idea of trying to make everybody equal and give to people, you can't give enough. You can't give enough. People will always want more. And then there's some people you try to give to and they're like, you know, I have plenty. I have everything that I need. Why don't you come by and we sit down and have dinner if you want to do something for me? Let's spend a little time together. And then there's some people that will always take money and more money and more money. You can't give enough. Miracles don't change hearts because of the motive of the heart. You see, we're here to change lives. God is real. And prior to walking into this building, prior to learning about God, prior to opening the Bible in any sort of way, the idea of God is real, I don't know. We all look for some sort of miracle. God is answering your questions. Why doesn't God reveal Himself? Well, He has. And look what's happened. People were raised from the dead and people still did not believe in Jesus. I don't know about you, but if I went to a funeral and somebody said, God is real. This person is only sleeping, awake. Happened in the Bible. It happened in the Bible. They thought someone is dead. That Jesus went up there and He said, this person's only sleeping. Arise, my child. Awake. They wake up. The person rises out of the coffin. I don't know about you, but I would be like, how did you do that? And He says, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about life. Let me tell you about a God that died for you. And then some people would be like, oh, great, now he can go back to work. Right? Great, now you can go back to work. Now you can mow the yard. You thought you was getting out of it, but you didn't. Right? They only look at what they can get out of the situation. That's the way some people are. Why they're that way, I don't know. I can be kind of selfish. I don't mean to be. I can be kind of selfish. Some people just are that way, and some people are curious about God. Some people ask the question, where's your God? And they really want to know an answer. Some people say, where's your God? And they only seek to mock God because they say, you'll never show yourself. Well, he did, but it didn't change hearts. Matthew 27:41-43. Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and the elders. He said, this is when he was on that tree when he was crucified. He said, he saved others and he can't save himself. Look at him, Son of God, hanging on a tree. Well, if you're the Son of God, come down off of that tree and we'll believe you. You perform a miracle. All the miracles that he performed, all the dead that he raised, all the good that he did. And these people had the nerve at the end to mock him because they thought that he had lost. They thought that he had been crucified against his will, that this was God was losing, and that this guy was proven to be a liar. And he said, come down off that cross. He saved others. He can't save himself. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. And he said, I am the Son of God. They mocked him. So all the things that Jesus did, raised the dead, healed the sick, gave to the poor, all the things that we would say would make us believe in God, at the lowest point of his life, when everybody turned from him, this is how they repaid those miracles. You say, God, show me. He did. And look what happened. He showed them. But God said, this man will lay in the tomb for 3 days. And science will never be able to explain how he raises from the dead. And I will raise him so that you may know that he is the Son of God. Do you know that when someone has a heart attack, there's roughly a 50% chance that they're going to survive. That's it. 50% chance. Somebody does CPR, they bring out an AED, all the things. Now, your percentages go down if you don't have an AED and things like that, and you don't perform CPR, you don't get them to the hospital in time. But there's one thing that makes a difference in all of those things. You know what that is? Your heart has still got to have that spark of life, right? It's shaking. It's out of rhythm. And it's trying to find that rhythm again. If that heart stops doing that, you'll never bring life back to it. Never. Never. No matter how many AEDs, open heart surgery, no matter what you do, once that spark of life and that heart has stopped shaking, I don't know, there's a term for it, and I'm not smart enough to know that, but once that stops, it's it. Life is gone. Life is gone. In 3 days, that life is gone. Science will tell you that man is dead and there's no bringing him back. Jesus came back. So these people said, come off the cross and I will believe you. He did come off the cross and they didn't believe in him. So you want God to perform some sort of miracle so that you can believe in him. That's not going to make you believe in him. You know what makes you believe in God? Evidence. Evidence. You know why you can trust your parents? Because the evidence that they love you, that they take care of you. You know why husbands trust wives and wives trust husbands? Because the evidence that they've shown that they are important to them and that there's lines that they won't cross. Evidence. You're friends because you've shown that you will be there for one another. Evidence. God has given us evidence. You want a miracle? He's given you miracles. You want to see fire come down from heaven? You want to see dead raise and walk around? He's done all of this. He's jumped through all of these hoops. John 12:37-43. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. You want a sign from God to prove that He's real? These people saw it and they still didn't believe in Him. But He said this happened because God said this was going to happen. People want to see miracles. He gave them miracles. But before all of these things compulated, before all of these things stopped, He told Isaiah that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spoke. This is called prophecy. Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. What blinds our eyes and hardens our hearts? What we want. That's what does this. Do you want blessings from God? Yes, I want blessings from God. Do you want miracles from God? Yes, I want miracles from God. Do you want riches and glory from God? Yes, I want. Do you want to repent? Who's He talking to? Right? Nobody wants to change. You want to know that God is real. You want to see God. You want to get the blessings. You want to get benefit. But you're not really interested in doing anything different in your life because you're really kind of content with your life. So the people that saw the miracles, they were for personal gain. The people that saw the miracles and saw God, they saw themselves. And they were people in the Scriptures that said, "Depart from me, man. Depart from me, Lord. I am a man of sinful lips. I'm not worthy to be up here and try to teach y'all. I'm learning myself." But you know what? Somebody's got to teach. And if I don't think that I'm good enough or perfect enough to teach and I sit down, you know who's going to replace me? Somebody who's just as imperfect as me that's struggling to serve God and to grow and to learn and to know this stuff. You know how I know this stuff? Because I take the time to read. You know why I take the time to read? Because that's when God shows me. And I do word studies and I spend time. I sit down and watch TV. I sleep. I lay around and do nothing all day sometimes. I can be one of the laziest people that you can meet, and my wife hates that in me. But I have a relationship with God. I spend time with Him. I spend time with my wife. I spend time at work. I spend time fixing the car. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. He's let them have what they want. He said, "Least they should see with their eyes, least they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." You know why those miracles and all those things that didn't change their hearts? Because they had no intention of serving God. None. No matter what God showed them, they had no intention of doing that. So you got to ask yourself, Jesus asked two questions. Who do you say that I am? Well, you're nobody. Okay. You are God. You are Lord. Lord. And He says, okay. You call me Lord. Why do you not do the things that I say? If you want to call me Lord, why do you not do the things that I say? You see, if you're willing to know God, He's going to show yourself, but be ready. Just like He told Job, He says, "You have asked me, now prepare yourself like a man and I will answer you." Verse 41, "Then these things Isaiah said when he saw His glory and spoke of Him." See, he saw Jesus. He saw the Son of God. He saw that God was real. He saw Him in the words. He saw Him in the miracles and the evidence that God is God. "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praises of God." He's giving you reasons why God doesn't continue to do this, because that doesn't change people's hearts. He's done this. He's given you evidence. He's given you a resurrection. He's told you. Are we the only people that have to go through a moment of silence? No. Hebrews says that God at various times, Hebrews chapter 1 says, "And God in various times spoke in various ways through the prophets." He used to speak in dreams. He used to speak in these miracles. He used to do all this stuff. And He says, "But now in these last days," which is the day that Christ came off the cross, the gospel age. There's no other age. There's no other saving message that's going to come. After this comes judgment. He says that there's nothing else to come. So God has given us salvation, and Are we going to look for it? Are we going to do something with it? What are we going to do? Right? They should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. He told us in Hebrews that in the last days He spoke to us only by His Son. Okay, so when do we hear Jesus speak? Remember, that's what we want, right? Where's God? Where's Jesus? If He's real, you look at Revelation and it said that when the King of Glory comes back, right? Remember when we look for something and we're like, where is it at? And somebody walks right in and says, there it is. Good job, right? When He comes back, and you're like, Lord, where were You at? I didn't see the miracles. I wanted to see You. And He comes back, and on His thigh was written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and His name is called the Word of God. If you want to see God, open Scripture. You know why? Because that's where we see God. We see His attributes. We see who He is. Oh, I believe in Jesus, the Bible, but I don't believe I have to do anything the Bible says. Right? That's pretty rough. You're not going to find God that way. You're not going to see God that way, no matter what He does. Right? No matter what He does, you're never going to see God that way. And some of the reasons that people don't turn was why the Pharisees did, because they prefer the praises of men, all the things that life can give us. Oh, Calvin's such a great guy, right? Versus the praises of God. And it doesn't matter how many miracles happen, I'm just going to take those miracles and I'm just going to edify myself. We're not the only people that had to live through moments of silence. God has jumped through any hoop that you can think of to prove what He says is true, knowing that most have no intention of believing or changing anything they do or say. They only seek their self. They only seek what they can get out of the situation. Where's your God? You know why they say that? Because they want you to stop telling them that there's a God that cares about how they live and what they're doing is wrong. They don't want to hear that. So they try to bring down your God. You can't show proof. And they say, well, then what I do is right and nobody can tell me otherwise. That's what they want. Right? They want you to shut up and go away. They don't care whether if God showed Himself or not. They had no intention of changing anything about their life. Nothing. We believe history books, documentaries. Anybody watch documentaries on the Zodiac, right? These killers, Son of Sam, all these people, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, they did all these documentaries and you watch them, and what do you think when you're done? That you understand the truth, right? This documentary just told you the truth of what went on. They never caught the Zodiac. They had many people who thought they knew who they were. Jack the Ripper, they never caught him. Many people said they thought who he was. But we believe in these documentaries that they never caught the Zodiac, that they never caught Jack the Ripper, that the Son of Sam was this person, and that the Night Stalker was this person, right? We believe this. We believe Ted Bundy was a monster because they caught him and they told us he was. Were you there? See, don't tell me that you can't read and believe something. Even Scripture says that faith comes by hearing. Faith, what we believe, what we can't see, faith comes by hearing, not my message. Not how great or wonderful I or anybody else in this building is, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We believe history books, documentaries, and even police files all the time of what happened from things we could not witness. Why can't we believe in a resurrection that was witnessed by over 500 people? Lawyers will tell you that when they look at the evidence of the Bible, that there is sufficient evidence to believe that Jesus existed, He did die by crucifixion, and He did raise from the dead. They will tell you that there was significant evidence. Why? Because the amount of people that confirmed this. Mean nothing to you? Ah, well, you're looking for God or you're not looking for God, right? Where's your God? Do you really want to find Him? You see, it's not for us to believe in what we see, but in the Word of God. So we don't get miracles? I'll give you one. You live in, 100 years. Let's say we live 100 years. We live 100 years. And we go back 100 years from now. We go back, this is 2023, so we go back to 1923. Do you know what most people did in 1923? They went to church. there was a morality that was centered around the Word of God. That's not the case today. That's not the case. Why? Because they didn't see miracles? No, they just stopped believing. They saw that they could steal from the cookie jar. Nobody said anything. You know what a child does when they take from the cookie jar and doesn't get caught? Do you know what happens? They do it again. They do it again. Do you know most people, when they do credit card fraud, if they went out and they lived in Roanoke and they went to Nevada and bought a 75-inch, 80-inch TV or whatever and only did that one time and stopped, they probably wouldn't get caught because it wouldn't be a reoccurring thing. The credit card companies would just write it off and move on. But you know what happens? They get greedy. They don't stop. Right? More, more. Remember self? More, more. So it's been tasked for us to believe in the Word of God. We read it and we're tasked to believe it. But you look at the children of Israel. For 400 years, not only did they not see anything from God, but they were enslaved. Their task was to build bricks for Pharaoh. That was their life. And yet, they held on to the idea, to the promises of God. Where was their miracles? Where was their miracles? Where was their fire from the sky? 400 plus years. Where was their miracles? They based their fact on the evidence. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They based their evidence on all, they based their faith on all the evidence that came before them. They trusted in that. God said He would redeem His people. And so for those people that were forced to make bricks and that was their life, their answer was, God will deliver us from this one day. And you know those very people that He delivered, they went through the desert, and it wasn't, what, a year later? Not even that long. You know what they started crying? Let us go back to Egypt. Look what He did for them, and look what they did. You want miracles? You got to trust in the evidence. You want to see God? Trust in the evidence. You want to know the evidence? Read the Word of God. They had to put their faith in the same thing, and they saw miracles. These people that wanted to return to Egypt, they saw a pillar of fire that went before them and a cloud of dust. I think I have that backwards. It was the daytime, it was a cloud of dust so they could travel, and it was a pillar of fire at night to show them the way, right? And they said, let us go back to Egypt and worship their gods. Why in the world would they do that? They were tasked with the same thing we were. You wouldn't think they were. You would think that their faith was based on sight. That's not what brings faith. It's trusting in the evidence that Scripture brings you. Some were told and they had faith. Abraham, where was the miracle of him? You know what happened? He was told, God told him to get out from your family because his family was idol worshipers. He said, get out from your family and follow me. I will lead you to a place. And you know what the Bible says? Is that Abraham, not knowing where he was going, put one foot in front of the other. That dude must have been crazy. He actually left his house, left his family, and just went on a journey believing God was leading him. He trusted in the God that delivered Noah. When they were on the boat in Noah's day, and they were scared, and all this time was passing, and they're wondering, where is God? Has He abandoned us? Do you know what Noah told them? He told him the story of Adam and Eve. He told him the story of all these things that happened. And he said, God has promised us a deliverer. He told me to build this boat. He told me that He would not forget about me. And He told me that He would deliver me. Always evidence with which to base your faith. Or do you want to see it? Do you want to look for it? Right? It's there. Some were told and have faith. Some seen and believed. Do you know that remember doubting Thomas? They're like, well, I'm a doubting Thomas. I'm a doubting Thomas. Unless I put my whole hand, excuse me. What, if I don't put my finger in his nail-scarred hands or stick my hand in his side, I won't believe. And so Jesus come to Thomas, and he said, put your hand here, your finger here, put your hand here. You know what Thomas did? He fell down at the feet, and he said, my Lord and my God. He said, how could I have been so stupid to ask for such a thing? Now, he didn't say that part, but when he fell down at his feet, he said, my Lord and my God. He was a fool. All the things that Jesus did, all the things that he promised, all the miracles that Jesus had shown him, and he dared say, I don't believe unless I see another miracle. See, because of, he told Thomas, he said, blessed are you because you see and believe. He said, blessed are those who believe because you have seen. If you tell your child, you tell your girlfriend, you tell your friend something, yeah, man, I go into this store all the time and I steal, right? When I was a kid, I used to take football cards, right? I got caught one time. Bam! Catch my arm up like it scared me to death, right? Never went back to that store. I don't know how old it was, 8 or 9. And you say, man, I do it all the time. And he said, you're going to get caught. I got caught. And then your friend gets caught. Then guess what? He looks at you and said, you were right. You're right, I did get caught. Some believe because of others. Thomas said, I need to see this in order for me to believe. And so Jesus showed it to him. And Jesus said, you have asked for this miracle. Some people need this miracle. I've shown it to you. And now they can trust in you that you trust in me. We do it all the time. We talk about how great our grandparents were. We talk about all the things that our grandparents did. And we trust and their way was better than our way. Man, it ain't like the old days. That didn't happen in my day. It was much better in my day. It was much better in the 80s. It was much better in the 60s. It was much better in the 50s, right? We hear that all the time. Some believe because of others. But all of these build up evidence upon which to build our faith. Where is God? He's everywhere. The problem is that you don't want to see Him. And if you do see Him, are you willing in the face of a living God to change some aspects of your life? Or do you think that you don't need salvation? That your path that you're on is okay. You're going to keep it real and you're going to stand before God and you're like, yeah, I got to hand it to you. Nobody told you what to do. Right? I got to hand it to you. You're definitely a man of men. Is that what you think God's going to say to you? Is it such a far stretch to think, like I said before, I'm 51 years old and I'm still learning. I'm not perfect. I still make stupid mistakes that I should have known and I learn from some of them and some of them I don't. Can I believe that God is smarter than me and that He is actually proven Himself to me? Do I really need to say? Right? It's like a child saying to a parent, will you let me do what I want to do and then I'll do the right thing. You stop telling me what to do. You stop telling me. You stop making me. I want to do my thing. And I'll show you I'll do my thing and it'll be right. Well, you know what happens when you turn a child loose? They act like a child. They run after the shiniest thing, and the next thing you know, they find out it's got a hook in it. It's too late. It's too late. Just let me do my own thing. No, God is trying to help us. Are you looking for God? Where's your God? Do you really want to find Him? He's there. You see, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, people were there. You know why? There was 1 million Jews there, roughly, whatever. I'm not going to argue with the number. There was 1 million Jews there. And you know why they were there? To worship God. That's why they were there, right? Worship God. And so Peter stood up and said, let all the house of Israel know that this God you've come to worship, that Jesus, God has made Him both Lord and Christ. That this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. The God you've come to worship today, you killed Him. And only 3 out of every 1,000, because there was 3,000 souls that were baptized. Out of 1 million, that's about 3 in every 1,000. 997 out of every 1,000 heard about the miracles of Jesus, saw Him raised from the dead, knew who He was, saw some of the things that He did, the life that He lived. 997 out of 1,000 saw God, walked away. Only 3 in every 1,000 said, if we've killed the Lord, if we've killed the God that has come to save us, if we've killed the Redeemer that we have waited on, what can we do? See, those are the people that said, where is your God? And when they found Him, they held on to Him. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. Knowing Jesus, seeing who He is, and trying to follow Him, He says, why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I say? The very people that came to worship God, when Peter showed him that, and he told him, these are the things that we do, they walked away from that because they trusted in the law. They trusted in themselves, the washing of pitchers and things like that, rather than the blood of the Son of God that had come to save them. Where is your God? He's right here. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?